Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. Trailer Talks, the Marcellus Shell Water Project, is a combination of live events, sound pieces, radio broadcasts, home movies, and an evolving interactive website that you're welcome to participate in. We're exploring the impact of natural gas drilling on New York's water resources and the issues being debated in our neighborhoods throughout the country and globally. What is guiding people's decisions about whether or not to lease their land for gas drilling? And at what point do the rights of the individual diminish in the face of the health of an entire area? What role does water itself have on the ability for an area to survive by providing for itself? What impact is this having not only on the communities in the shale regions, but also on the national dialogue and policymaking decisions around energy extraction? What defines the American dream, and how does it impact the decisions being made in our communities? Trailer Talk's Marcellus Shale Water Project explores the impact of natural gas drilling in our neighborhoods. Local culture, generations of history, and beloved homes can be lost when the oil and gas companies, intent on fossil fuel extraction, move into a new region. We're facing a complete shift in our region as this largest ever concentration of gas lies in wait beneath our feet. Please go to www.trailertalk.net and talk to us. Everyone loves a parade. Well, at least I do. I've already been to two parades this summer, the Trout Parade in Livingston Manor, New York, with Trailer Talk, and the July 4th parade in my hometown of Liberty, New York, where I marched with a big chicken. Well, more on that later. So, here's the 7th annual Trout Parade celebrating all that is fishy in the zany participatory community event in the tiny hamlet of almost 1,500 people that is located at the entrance to the Catskill State Park and sits on the banks of the Willoweemock River. The rain subsided. That magical trout sent a message to Mother Nature or something like that. Do you have a favorite parade? Please enjoy one of mine.
There's a seahorse on stilts.
My name is Elijah.
Hello, Elijah. What a pleasure to have you joining me today on this Saturday of the Trout Parade. Where did you get your beads?
From somebody on stilts.
Come in. Come on in, you duck race fundraising volunteer fireman.
My name's Wade Subbers. I'm from the Livingston Manor Fire Department.
My name's Dick Trotty from Livingston Manor Fire Department.
Basset hounds, I love it.
Come on, Lily.
Okay, so I have three Basset hounds, four Basset hounds. One of them is looking to be adopted. This is part of the Basset Hound Rescue of what, Sullivan County, or?
This is Mid-Atlantic.
The Mountain Tones, a volunteer community traveling marching band that you can see from one event to another throughout the Sullivan County Catskills, organized by Van Morrow, a resident of Livingston Manor. Please introduce yourself.
Hi.
And your dog.
I'm Stacy, and this is Muggsy, my new puppy.
Hi, Barry Foster. How are you?
Infamous MC of the 7th annual. Please have a brownie. Okay, so how have you seen this parade evolve in its 7 years, Barry?
It has certainly evolved, hasn't it?
It sure has.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure
the first year whether it was going to work, you know, but it is really amazing how it has evolved. We're just going to keep doing it. I like it. It's real zany. It's real different.
It sure is. Okay, I just saw a seahorse on stilts.
You did?
I did.
Stacy's eating your brownie.
The brownies are so good, Sabrina.
How do we characterize it, Stacy?
Well, it really brings out the wacky side of Livingston Manor, which is so fun. You know, I live here, and you know, most of the time it's just a very nice, respectable little town. And on Trout Parade Day, you find out everybody's secret wildness. I see my neighbors, my across the street neighbors dressed in a Cat in the Hat hat.
Hi.
And,
hi.
You know, you see a side
good
of people
to see
you don't
you.
Always
Sorry, Stacy.
See.
Hi. While Stacy was talking, you know what I thought? I mean, I was born and raised here. So I'm not a newcomer.
Okay, so Stacy, you're a relative newcomer here in Livingston Manor. How many years?
I've been here 6 years now.
And Barry?
And I've been here on and off between everything 68 years.
68 years.
So what I see, Sabrina, is the influx of new people in this village who own stores. Morgan Outdoors, Willow and Brown, Flower Power.
Hamish and Henry. We have the art gallery cast outside the windows.
It changed the complexion of the town for the better. You know, and I love all of these people. And what they've brought here is not only zaniness, but a refreshing new outlook. You know, a Chelsea kind of attitude, including my son. My son owns a Lazy Beagle.
That's right. Wonderful restaurant outside the front windows of the trailer here. I love to go get that beet salad. Yeah.
So that I think that has a lot to do with it.
A lot to do with it. And it is, you know, it's an interesting small town parade, right? It's this kind of quirky celebration of artists and... Right, Stacy, your dog is really well behaved.
Dog eating
love
clipboard.
Is blind.
She's perfect.
So Barry and Stacy, it's so great. Hi, Nick. I see you outside the trailer. To have you both here, right, the relative newcomer and the kind of the old-timer here in Livingston Manor, New York. So what has kept you here, Barry? And
well,
Stacy, what brought you here and is continuing to keep
you here?
Well,
I love going up here. You know, my parents moved from New York City in 1938, so it wasn't by choice. But I love going up here. I love going to school here. My children all went to school here. And, you know, outside of college and the Army, I spent all my years here. And, you know, roots are important, Sabrina. You know, you usually go back to what you loved. And I really enjoyed it here. So I love living here. Really love it. That's the answer.
Dog eating the trailer table.
Dog eating
Poor
table.
Micah.
Eating table.
Thank you, Barry, for sharing that. What would you say are there challenges that we're facing right now? I know there's some things on my mind.
Oh, yeah. The economy is a big challenge. We actually have five new stores, which is absolutely incredible. You know, when you stop and think about the economy, the question is whether we can keep them all going year round. It's a very seasonal place, and we struggle. You know, for 5 or 6 months, and if we can even that out, then I think we'll thrive. I really do. I'm going to go introduce the next band.
Thank you. Tanis Kowalczyk from the NACL Theater in Highland Lake is the Seahorse on Stilts and is joining me for Trailer Talk. Now, this
Have
is...
Have you had a still walker in your trailer before? Because I barely fit.
No, well, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So the Aztec seahorse, oh boy, so the seahorse from the sea, and and lots of thoughts about the sea.
The poor sea, our poor sea right now.
So you have come from the sea as a messenger.
Yes.
For this trout parade, the 7th annual one here in Livingston Manor. And it is so fun, and it's hard to go to those upsetting places like gas drilling and the sea and what's happening. But in the midst of it all, it's we see community and friends and people coming together and celebrating what we do have.
Exactly. It's a celebration and celebrating what we have, which is beautiful, clean water, gorgeous, gorgeous mountains, and really good neighbors. Wonderful, wonderful people in our community. And so it is a time to celebrate, but it's also the time to contemplate possibly losing these things.
Right.
And so it's good. It puts things in perspective and in relief. And
exactly. You expressed that so beautifully, what we do have and how valuable that is. Our neighbors, each other, friends, this town, all of these towns and this region. You live in Pennsylvania. Just across the river, the Delaware River, from Calicoon, New York.
Work in New York. Work in Sullivan County and run the theater there. And so, it's a wide-reaching, wonderful community. And these kinds of celebrations make us really appreciate where we're at and where we've come. I mean, this community has, I think, really done an amazing job building itself. Since 10 years ago when I first came, I feel like there's, a lot more activity and cultural events like this, and people really caring and making an effort to build more networks and more layers to who we are and where we are. It's really beautiful.
And Tanis, you are an artist in this community. You have a theater and a theater company, NACL, in Highland Lake. if you could share with us, for you, the role of the artist and the arts here in this community, the kinds of work that you do, and how you're connecting.
Well, I feel like the role of the artist changes as times change. And I feel right now that the role of an artist is to ask questions that may be underneath the surface of our everyday thinking and thoughts and activities. So I think really trying to scratch below the surface to explore issues that are maybe in our dreams or in our nightmares, and at the same time to celebrate the extraordinary and to recreate it or create it, or create the unimaginable as well. So I think service to society is one thing, but also service to the to potential and imagination is the other side of being an artist. So,
and you are embodying that right now
in fact, as
the seahorse on stilts. Did you make this costume?
I did. Well, it's a combination of many different costumes, actually. This costume, the body of this costume, is the first was in the first trout parade, worn by Jenny Litton, and she donated it to the theater, to NACL Theater, after the first trout parade. And so I've resurrected it. I've added a few more feathers and bells and whistles, but then I have some old chicken stilts from a past chicken costume. Which I've incorporated these lovely feathers into, and some other. Really, I've just really scavenged.
And lace, and
it's basically the NACL costume attic,
which I have been in that
splendor.
Attic, and that is one fun place filled with whatever you could imagine.
Yes.
You know, everything from the beautiful lace dresses, every decade it seems, from somewhere in the 1800s forward. To uniforms,
right?
And hats.
Military uniforms. Recent acquisition was naval uniforms.
Crazy things. Well, Tanis, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me and for being here, Sabrina. As always, you're an amazing presence at all of our events here, and interviewing people and just being here makes this place a better place.
Oh, thank you so much, and for bringing this beautiful seahorse as well. And I must say, I have never had a seahorse on stilts, nor a person on stilts joining me for Trailer Talk. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great. I have Evelyn Raymond in the trailer. So how many of them have you been to?
I think this is my fourth.
So your fourth parade. And what is it about this parade, would you say? Because you have been in this county for a long time.
Since 1984, so it's not that long. But I think it brings people here because it's so unique. And there's no other parade like this, at least in our county. But it's I don't think even in the country. It's just such an interesting mix of people. People have even had weddings and bar mitzvahs.
That's
centered
right.
around the parade.
I was here with Trailer Talk when the wedding occurred.
Right, and the bar mitzvah was the year before. Yeah. And I was like, wow, they made their bar mitzvah coincide with the trout parade.
That's right. Well, there's a spirit.
Trout heads.
Trout heads. I know. I know. And are the trout heads going to be in the parade? Because that was a fantastic costume.
Really?
The
and
years.
The big statues, the big puppets. I mean,
the hula
people
hoopers.
Are very creative. And I think that so every year is different.
Right. And it is a little bit different from the other kinds of parades that are in the county. Of course, very different from an Independence Day parade, from a tractor parade.
Right.
So what would you say is because we all talk about this quirkiness of the parade.
Yeah.
So what is that? Is it the costumes? Is it the puppets?
I think the freedom. Freedom of expression. Freedom to be creative. I like that.
Yeah.
Beyond Halloween, it's like...
So it's somehow lifting us up, isn't it, to be something else?
Something else, or even who you really are, but it's okay to express it. It's just so people enjoy the uniqueness and being different and celebrating that.
And
around the theme of trout, which brings people to the county, because that's fresh. Now it's really important that we emphasize the freshwater trout.
Take a look over there at those jugs that I have in the trailer.
Yeah.
They're from
fresh water.
No, they're not fresh water.
Oh, not fresh water.
They're from Dimock, Pennsylvania. They're from where they're doing the gas drilling. And those are from a well where the casings
broke. How important for us.
And they're polluted.
Right. So it's even more important. And now the trap parade has actually become a political statement of what we want to keep in the county then.
See, and that's very interesting.
Whereas at one time it was quirky, now it's essential.
So it's this exactly of what we cherish here,
what we
value, what is precious in these resources.
What we almost were taking for granted, now we can no longer take for granted that we have fresh water, fresh fish, fresh air, and we want to keep it that way.
Aileen Gunther, the Assembly Person of the 98th Assembly District.
Jerry Cohen.
So Aileen Gunther, you are a regular
at this
trout parade.
It's
the seventh annual. You got to hula hoop again.
This is a great day, and thank God it didn't rain.
Oh, I know, and it's a wonderful celebration of everything that we do have. And
right.
People have been sharing with me, of course, the unique quality of the trout parade here in Livingston Manor. I mean, it really does, it's the playfulness of it, I think, and the extravagance of the costumes.
People are having a really great time just walking around and going into all the shops and all the little booths around. It's nice, very nice.
And also, we're celebrating that trout capital. I was up here to throw the first cast because I'm beginning of fly season at the Junction Pool. And, you know, as we drove here today, you notice all along the rivers people fishing, and it's just known all over the world for the great, you know, the sport of trout fishing.
Well, and so important then, I have to bring it up. I mean, it was already mentioned, the gas drilling, but we're sitting in the trailer with these contaminated jugs of water from Dimock, Pennsylvania, from broken casings at the at the well sites. And so we do have this amazing resource in this county with the fresh water, with the wildlife, with the fish that bring people here.
My husband used to always say, like, water is life. And it truly is. And, you know, I think that you hate to have people polarized in two different directions when I think in everybody's heart is the same feeling about their love of Sullivan County and the love of the land and the environment. And, you know, thinking about not today and you know, they get a tremendous bonus for leasing their land, you know, $5,000 an acre, which is, you know, quite a lot of money. But and we really have to think a little further down the road and what impact that it'll have not only on the environment, on our economy. You know, many people come here, second homeowners, because of the beauty and because it's wooded and it's, you know, the clean water, rivers, bike riding.
Tourism is really probably the biggest industry in this area.
Right.
And it would I don't know.
Well, and also, we're talking about such a small...
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, because what they're finding is that the areas where this drilling is happening become industrialized, so you lose the rural nature, small town qualities. You know, they do...
If you think about driving down and you see some of the farms that are very interested in doing it, maybe on the corridor of 17B, and, you know, I've seen some pictures of what it looks in other places, and as you drive down and you drive to that incredible Bethel Woods and the Performing Arts Center, and then Stacy Coing, of course, is building the Dancing Cat. That's a distillery, and it's going to have tons of music and fun foods. And then there are other people, they want to, you know, have an area where they're going to sell, you know, works of artists. So there's
I'm trying to picture a big gas drilling rig right in front of the Dancing Cat Saloon. I don't think that wouldn't look good.
I think it would, you know, kind of ruin the whole...
I think it might turn some people away, right?
No, I don't know much about the gas drilling thing, but I know that throughout the country, the water situation is getting worse and worse every year on its own, just through natural, well, not natural, but just through normal industrialization and commercial use. But to compound it like that would be really devastating, I think. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happened in the Gulf Coast, isn't that amazing? It's just... you turn your head, don't you, when you see it? When you watch that oil just spewing out, and you think about, you know, BP, and you think about Cheney, and, you know, what greed does to people, and, you know, that's absolutely the cause was greed. For $500,000, they could have done what the Netherlands did or Belgium did, that sonar that would have been able to shut that gas well down, and not to do that for $500,000 with all the profits that they've made. You know, to me, I heard on the news, I was listening to NPR, and a woman was calling in, and she said that, you know, they should be convicted for murder because of those 11 people that blew up in, you know, at the Gulf Coast. 11 people lost their lives, and now people are losing their economic lives, whether it's the fishing industry or the animals that are dying every day. you know, no more oysters. Two-thirds of our fishing comes from that area.
Right.
And now that industry is shutting down, which is really a terrible thing for the economy. I mean, in Louisiana, they've suffered through so much, and here's this is going to devastate them, too. They just started to turn around.
I think that another really big problem, talking about that Louisiana thing and in relation to the gas drilling, is the government oversight. And it turns out, you know, I'm in construction in New York, and when the crane disaster happened there a couple years ago, It turned out all these inspectors were on the take. It turned out that nobody was really watching the store, everybody's being paid off. Then you find out this accident in the Gulf was the same thing, 600 violations against one well. The nearest company to get violations was 6 violations, okay? And one company only had 1 violation. This company had 600. Where were the inspectors? So what I'm worried about is with these broken casings and all the water leaking in and all the accidents that you hear about with the gas and the chemicals that we don't even know what they are that are being pumped into the ground, who's going to oversee that? And do you really trust the people that are overseeing it? Because at this point, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay, come on in, guys, please. Catskill Mountain Keeper, friends and family who are just in the parade. Iris Gillingham, Rowan Gillingham, Wes Gillingham, who's the program director for the Catskill Mountain Keeper, and that's our local environmental advocacy group. It's based in Youngsville, New York. They also represent the entire Catskill region, which we have 7 counties throughout the Catskills. Wes, you've come in here with your kids, and you were just in the parade and you were singing a song.
We love the idea of the trout parade and having all these people come out and the community come out for this. So Mountain Keeper has been doing, since we started, we've been doing the parade in some form or fashion, and it's always at the last minute. And So we threw a bunch of stuff on our old farm wagon and came down here. But then I was thinking, well, everything about, you know, fish and streams and rivers. And the Crawdad song popped into my head.
You get a line, I get a pole, honey. You get a line, I get a pole, babe. You get a line, I get a pole.
You get a line, I get a pole, honey.
You get a line, I get a pole, babe. You get a line, I get a pole.
We go down to the Crawdad hole, honey, oh sugar babe.
Gas drilling, right? We can't avoid it. So I've got these contaminated jugs of water from Dimmock, Pennsylvania, where they're doing the gas drilling, celebrating the trout. This is such a fun, beautiful celebration of both Livingston Manor, community, who we are, this region, of course, the fish themselves who are thriving in these waters. So how do we wrap our minds around what is knocking on our door?
Well, this parade, it's actually, it's a really good example of a community recognizing the resource. Here's a community that comes out and celebrates the natural resources they have, which, you know, a few years ago they did an economic study in the Willowemoc and Beaverkill region as to actually how much money was spent in this area. And I think, you know, that was part of people in this community realizing how blessed we are with intact ecosystems and healthy streams, and that's attractive to people from all over the country, and they come here for that. And if drilling goes forward the way it's being proposed right now, it's going to totally throw a wrench into that whole process. Not only are things like this, you know, the community coming together for the parades, being impacted by the the industry. Just think of what today would be like if there was hundreds and hundreds of trucks going by and trying to get around through Livingston Manor while this was going on, and that's exactly what happened. They're not going to stop drilling because there's a trout parade.
Well, and what would happen if there's no uncontaminated water? There's no more fresh water, so the fish are dying.
Yeah, and here's, you know, you have the Willowemoc, a world-famous trout stream, and the wastewater treatment facility for the town of Rockland out here. It's underutilized because the chicken plant that used to be here. So they actually have a lot of capacity to take wastewater. They were approached by the drilling companies.
I think Ron needs to go. Okay, thank you for joining us. Okay, Wes is going to join you in a minute anyway. Thank you, Rowan.
So again, it just, you know, this whole prospect in the industrialized process, that this will have an impact beyond our wildest dreams in terms of what it could do to a community, especially one like this where so much of what the community is revolves around natural resources.
So you're talking about also the economics of having clean resources and the industries that grow around it, that such as, I mean, the economies, I should say, not to confuse it with what would become an industrialized site, right, if the drilling is allowed to expand throughout the county. But the economies, such as you mentioned, tourism, right, recreation, the great outdoors that we have here, things like that. So you're looking at those things in a way to battle the prospects of gas drilling?
Well, not even to just battle the prospects, but to get people aware of what this really means. I mean, the whole economic question, a lot of environmental groups have sort of stayed away from that, but really, when you look at the money that the gas industry brings into a community, it's very temporary. It's subject to, you know, extremes, you know, the whole boom and bust cycle that other parts of the country have already experienced. And then the other thing is, when you're left with the degradation of the industrial process, the cost to the community hasn't been some really clear studies to show what the actual impact and the eventual, you know, over the long term, what it's costing or what the community's getting. And I think there's a 20th century idea that, you know, it's the economy versus the environment. I mean, I think the environment is our economy, and we really need to recognize that. I mean, look what just happened in the Gulf. You know, you've got,
right.
I mean,
yeah,
it's absolutely impacting whole other aspects of the whole region just because one extractive resource has made a big mistake. And they've made a big mistake because they weren't being properly regulated, and they were cutting corners like they usually do.
Wes Gillingham, okay. Program director from Catskill Mountain Keeper. What a parade. I mean, parades are great, right? Aren't parades great? They're just wonderful. But this trout parade, there's something very special about it in its celebration. It's what is it? What would you say?
It's a fiesta.
It's a fiesta. Thank you, Larry. Lawrence just shared that with me. It really is. It's a fiesta. It celebrates so much. What would we say? Why have I no words? Lawrence, it's a good thing you're here.
Because it's indescribable.
And it really is, you know, I'm still getting over the waggle of 50 basset hounds, the huge, huge trout that takes how many, 10 people to carry,
and the puppets and all that.
The body puppets,
yeah.
The whale float, the hula hoopers. We even had our legislator hula hooping down the main street of Livingston Manor. And what else? What am I forgetting about this parade? We had Miss Sullivan County 2010.
We had the kids from the drama workshop.
Kids from the drama workshop.
Dancers from the...
Hillary's helping me out now, too. The dancers from
Roscoe
Dance Workshop. So you have just this abundance of costumes. Of course, the seahorse, Stiltwalker passing out the Mardi Gras, beads. You know, we have all these amazing things. So this has been a really fun trout parade that did not lack serious conversation as well about what's happening in this county as we face gas drilling and as we recognize all that's so precious and that we value so much here in our neighborhood. So I want to thank you all.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
Not to mention the camaraderie.
Camaraderie.
And the feel of community togetherness.
Thank you so much, Larry. From the kitchen table, out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artel. Trailer Talk gratefully acknowledges the Park Foundation, the New York State Council on the Arts, and the Puffin Foundation for the generous support of our work. And special thanks to the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance in Narrowsburg, New York. In addition, it's contributions from people like you that make this project possible. To find out more about the Marcellus Shale Water Project, please go to www.trailertalk.net. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources,
and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artel. Safe travels.